it's not a red card. It's not because it's Arsenal. Believe me, I like to think I'm objective enough to say that it is a red, wasn't a red. That for me is a disgraceful decision.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're welcome along to the Sunday Kickback. Keith Tracy alongside me, and we have just been watching Arsenal's 5-1 win against Manchester City. There was a time when this would be the result of the year, but the way things have gone for Manchester City, was it a big surprise?
I think it's a big surprise. A 5-1 against Manchester City is a big surprise. I wouldn't say I seen it coming, but I did feel that Arsenal would have enough to be able to go and win the game against Manchester City. But you know, I look at what Manchester City are doing, and you think, okay, that Manchester City in the prime can go and deal with that like a knife through, but a play out from the back through the towards, lovely stuff. But when it doesn't work once and you're putting yourself under pressure, the ball hits the back of the net, then Martinelli gets in and he scores and it's offside. Havertz should punish them again. They still keep doing it and doing it. And you're thinking, if you do it once and you make a mistake and you do it again and you make a mistake third time, don't do it. Because what you're saying to me is, I'm a footballer who can't really think for myself. I've been given a game plan and I'm playing the game plan that the manager wants. If it's not working, do something else. Don't keep playing into Arsenal's hand, because the Arsenal press, it wasn't a million miles an hour, but when they seen something, they went after it. And Manchester City, for me, just did exactly what Arsenal wanted. And look, I don't know why they didn't go a little bit more back to front into Haaland like they did in the Chelsea game. They got some rewards from that. Maybe it was Saliba and Gabriel. They thought Haaland would probably get eaten up there, but I'd have done that an awful lot more from my point of view. I'd have just chipped it up to the big man, got Marmoush, Savinho winning around them and folding and played from there. But look, Manchester City can do it, but on today's evidence, and you know, probably the last couple of months, they haven't been at the races.
Massively important win for Arsenal to keep up with Liverpool, albeit still 6 points behind. And while they were gifted the first two goals, what they did after that in that last half an hour was super impressive.
That was unbelievable. When Haaland scores that header, you're thinking, right, let's see what Arsenal have in the locker now. Because 1-1, it can really go either way. Manchester City getting themselves back into the game. But that the folding pass, and you had some great camera angles there as well when we're looking at the pass into Marmoush. It's never really on. And even if he squeezes that pass in, Marmoush is still 20 yards inside his own half. It's not like, it's a goal-scoring opportunity if the pass gets there. The risk-reward of it is not there. And the fact that it's Phil Foden, a player who has reached the dizzying heights of what he has, to still try and force that, it's just really nonsensical. There was at one point, Ortega played the ball into Kovacic, and Kovacic was running towards his own goal with no goalkeeper in the goal. And you think, how is this happening? How are you doing these things? Look, sometimes you get yourself into a bad position as a player and you just get rid of the ball. And look, I'm sure Pep Guardiola was saying it's play at Manchester City. But if you're not on form and you're under pressure and the team are on you and the Emirates is bouncing like it was, sometimes you just get rid of the ball and you get it 70 yards from your goal, you get defensive shape, the defensive solidity, and you go from there. But I don't think Pep ever thinks like, let's get behind the ball and go from there. It's all about next phase of attack.
It does feel like it's been a total systems failure from Manchester City, and so often we'd be commentating on games and teams would make a mistake at the back and we would have said, well, they're not Manchester City, why are they doing this, why are they taking these sort of risks? And now that is Manchester City. They've conceded two goals from really sloppy play around their own penalty area. They could have conceded two or three more.
Again, I don't know why. Like, when I looked at Manchester City over the last 2 years, you're thinking they've some of the best players in the world. Rodri in there can dictate a game, will take the ball under any pressure, doesn't matter how many people are around them. And the one thing with Rodri is he will very rarely lose the ball. If he passes forward, it will find the target. If it passes backward, he'll find the target. But Kovacic in there will risk the ball at times, will try and run it when he should pass it. And so many of the wingers, when Savinho gets one-on-one Marmoush, it's pass, where Marmoush should be running with the ball, Savinho should be running with the ball. Timber was on a yellow card, I think, in around the 30th minute of the game, yet Savinho didn't really have another run at him after that. And if you're a winger and the person you're up against is on a yellow, you've got to identify that and keep going, put him under pressure and see if he does something silly. But Manchester City not asking the questions that they should be asking, keep going with the game plan, the philosophy that they have. And a lot of people know that no matter what Manchester City turn up, they're going to try and play out from the back. So if you press them well, you will generally get an opportunity.
It doesn't feel right now like they're getting any answers from the sideline either. Every time you look at Pep Guardiola, he he appears outwardly certainly as bewildered as everybody else as to what's going on.
Yeah, it's so strange because when this torn in Manchester City happened, he came out and he said, look, it's me, I'm not good enough, I'm not finding the answers, and nobody really believed him. Everybody thought, well, he's just trying to shield the players, really. Now the players, it's still not working out. The players are looking for inspiration, going, well, what are you going to do now, Gaffer? But the soundbite is ringing in their ears that I'm not good enough. I'm not sure I'm good enough to do this again. And look, he signed another year with Manchester City. He would never ever get sacked. I'm sure he would have to walk away from that job. But if this was anybody other than Manchester City and Pep Guardiola, you're thinking, you've got to have a plan B. You can't just keep doing that and doing that.
But did they not have a plan B last week?
They
beat Chelsea and they went incredibly direct, route one to Erling Haaland. Chelsea defenders couldn't cope with him. Now, Ederson wasn't playing today, and maybe Ortega doesn't have the quality of passing that Ederson has. But could he not have asked similar questions?
Of course, but again, I think when Pep Guardiola sends you out with a game plan, you stick to that game plan, because if you don't stick to it, he's going to take you off the pitch. So if an Akanji, for instance, starts flicking balls up to Haaland's chest, I think Guardiola would pull him, because he's saying, that is not what I've sent you out there to do. Against Chelsea, I sent you out there to do that, but against Arsenal, and I don't know whether it's the Arteta apprentice, you know, I'm going to beat him my way rather than let's do a little bit more longer stuff. I don't know, but that ball up to Haaland, when I look at Nottingham Forest, and I love how Forest play, and a big part of it is Chris Wood being a target man. If you have wingers that blistering place that Manchester City do and Nottingham Forest, you have a target man that goes in up high, two centre halves, you're in business then, because you're getting a one-on-one somewhere all over the pitch. But Manchester City do get one-on-ones, but torn it down and try and pass around the houses and go through the middle rather than isolate somebody and skin them.
And maybe City have been so bad, it's taking away from the amount of credit we should be giving to Arsenal here, because ordinarily a 5-1 win against Manchester City, we'd be talking about one of the great Arsenal performances. They were very good in periods. Again, defensively, by and large, looked very comfortable. Had some strong individual performances, like Miles Lewis-Skelly. Think back to the Etihad and Erling Haaland saying, who the F are you, when he was... The celebration, I'm sure, was pointed when he did the Erling Haaland celebration. 18 years of age, Wanyeri 17 years of age. Talk about their talents and what you're seeing from them.
Yeah, both of them are. They really do get the juices flowing. You look at Wanyeri, he seems to have a little bit of everything about him when he comes off the bench. It's a wonderful finish with that left foot. And it's so easy. You look at it and you think, yeah, he hasn't really done anything too outrageous there. He's come inside, lovely little finish. But it's Guardiola and Savinho. How are you not knowing that he's going to come in on his left foot and try that shot? You've got to get down the shooting channel or send him down the line on his right foot. It's very, very basic defender, but take nothing away from the young lad. It was wonderful stuff. The Lewis-Skelly one, when Declan Rice is in a left-back position and gives it into Lewis-Skelly, he turns and he's probably thinking, I'll try and offload this ball to somebody in a better position. But he realises the distances between him and the centre-halves, drives at them, shifts the ball and hits. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. And that's a player that knows that, right, the manager wants me to pass and move, but if I identify the space in front of me, I'm going to go and gobble her up and get me shot. And look, them two young players are brilliant. And I think David Raya deserves a mention as well. He had a wonderful save from a Guardiola header that he tapped onto the crossbar. There was one, that a deflected shot that he saved as well, that was quite good. So David Raya had moments where he had to play well as well. But Odegaard, Rice, Thomas Partey, I thought was brilliant. Trossard gave Nunes a horrible life on the left wing as well. I think, you know, I could probably highlight every Arsenal player today as having an individually really good game. But you look at Manchester City, Bernardo Silva, Kovacic, Foden, Savinho, Marmoush, huffing and puffing, but generally not coming to the party.
So Arsenal 6 points behind Liverpool. Liverpool have the game in hand, and the next time Arsenal play in the league, that game in hand will have happened, the Merseyside derby at Goodison Park, so they'll know exactly where they stand. I was saying, you know, is this the spark for Arsenal? And then you realise they're unbeaten in 14 games, which is a heck of a run already. They haven't been beaten since the beginning of November by Newcastle. But does it need it? For some reason, it's felt like it's needed a spark.
Yeah, because I feel like Arsenal are playing really well, really good football, as you say, unbeaten in a long, long time. But we have to go beyond Liverpool. We can't match Liverpool and think we're going to be able to win the Premier League. We have to go beyond them. I do think there's going to be a little bit of it, you know, Liverpool coming off the boil. You know, me Arsenal eyes would be thinking, if Salah gets a hamstring injury, if Salah hurts himself, then maybe that Liverpool team could come away a little bit. Could the Trent Real Madrid stuff come to the forefront and mess things up? They're me going looking for problems rather than problems being there, because they've been there from the start of the season. I think everybody knew Trent, Van Dijk, Salah, our contract, but hasn't really become an issue on field. So look, I think Liverpool will come off the boil, but how badly they come off the boil is whether or not Arsenal will come into it.
It's been a fascinating couple of weeks following the Evan Ferguson transfer saga. Looked at one stage like he might be going to Bayer Leverkusen, and then Boniface's move to Saudi Arabia falling apart. I mean, that didn't happen. There was a lot of speculation over at the weekend that Chelsea had come in with a bid for a permanent transfer. Still talk of Arsenal potentially as well, and maybe that'll be a story if Ollie Watkins were to go to Arsenal. So West Ham on loan for the rest of the season. When you weigh up all the different options, how does that sit with you?
I think it's a good move. I think it's a really good move for Evan. Look, I know people will say, oh, it was Chelsea, Bayer Leverkusen, some of the clubs named are brilliant, and he's probably thinking, I've ended up at the lesser clubs of all the ones mentioned. But for me, it's immaterial. He needs to play games. He's at that age now. He's had a couple of injuries, been in and out. So he needs to play. He needs to play games. And at West Ham, Antonio obviously been in a pretty poor, pretty bad car crash. He'll be gone till at least the season. Mm. Fulkrug, hit and miss.
He's been dogged by injuries. Fulkrug.
Injuries as well. So yeah, I imagine he plays at West Ham. If he goes to Chelsea, he goes to an Arsenal. Maybe he gets minutes, but he's not 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, and that's what he needs. And Irish eyes, we're always looking at Evan thinking, what's he going to look like in a green shirt? And he has a relationship with Graham Potter. Graham Potter gave him his debut at Brighton. So they're two people that know each other well. And I do think that means something to modern day footballers, having that relationship in place. So I think it's a good move. Mm. I think he will play. And with the wingers that West Ham have, he will get opportunities. And look, I like it, but let's see how he goes.
It's incredible the types of clubs that he's been linked with, considering, listen, everyone got so excited, rightly so excited, when he scored all those goals at the start of last season. But a lot of people were quick to go, everyone got too excited, and actually he's not all of that. The fact that Chelsea, Arsenal, Bayer Leverkusen are all looking at him would suggest that the hype is more than justified.
I think the hype is more than justified, but again, I'm always very late to get onto these things, because I look at Aaron Connolly, Troy Parrott, Evan Ferguson, and you think, we threw all the weight on these lads' shoulders. And I don't want to say they came off the boil, but for one reason or another, they didn't really become the players that we wanted them to be. So look, Evan has all the time in the world. He will play games at West Ham. He will get better and better, but it's all about getting games, getting time, playing more regularly. So yeah, look, he's developed an awful lot more. He looks like a man now, Evan. And yeah, he will develop different facets of the game, and that move to West Ham can only be a good thing. But when you look at the, like, if you're Evan Ferguson, walk around and Xavi Alonso fancies you, Enzo Maresco fancies you, there's so many managers, Mikel Arteta fancies you, Graham Potter fancies you, you must be thinking, I'm doing something right here. So Evan, just keep improving.
Aggressive, Keith.
It's not a red card. It's not because it's Arsenal, believe me. I like to think I'm objective enough to say that it is a red, wasn't a red. That for me is a disgraceful decision.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.